We received a question from a listener for our series, Want to Know Idaho. This listener-focused series from Boise State Public Radio's newsroom hinges on your curiosity. So we asked you what questions you have about the Gem State, and this is what we heard from you.
Hi, my name is Scott Sanicky from Boise. I'd like to know, has the 2017 flooding damage to the Boise River Greenbelt been repaired?
Now we answer that question from Scott. So joining me today to give us an update on repair efforts as well as maintenance and preservation of the Greenbelt and other trails in Ada County is Boise Parks and Recreation Director Doug Holloway and Foothills and Open Space Senior Manager Sarah Arkel. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Nice to be here.
So, Doug, in a nutshell, what kind of damage was sustained last year?
You know, we really actually were fairly fortunate. What we thought was going to be fairly extensive really turned out to not be quite as extensive as we thought. We really didn't have an opportunity to gauge the extent of the damage until after the river really went down into that winter flow stage. And at that point in time, we were able to get our engineers in and really take a look at what was happening underneath the Greenbelt, which is really our biggest concern. And we really found out that that some of that damage that we thought really was occurring along some of the banks just wasn't occurring, which was a good sign, which meant that we have had some great stability through most of the Greenbelt. So we had some areas over at Veterans Parkway, which is probably the biggest damage that we had along the Greenbelt. We've completed all those repairs now, and we have a brand new section of Greenbelt through there. And so for the most part, everything has been pretty much repaired. But overall, it really surprisingly turned out pretty good for us.
What about the bridge that we all remember that dramatic video of that bridge rushing down the Boise River as part of the Greenbelt. Has that been replaced or will that be replaced?
You know, that actually is owned by the Foundation for Parks and Land. And I think you're referring to the plantation location. They have the Foundation for Parks and Land actually owns the island that that bridge connects Boise into the island and then off onto the Ada County side of the island. And so we're working with them and with FEMA to see if we can get funding to get that bridge back in place. But before that can occur, there is a tremendous amount of damage along that section of the Greenbelt. So obviously it's closed there at this point in time, but we have some major bank restoration work that needs to occur there as well as a complete reconstruction of the pathway through there. Now, again, we don't own it.
Okay.
But it is a major connection, east-west connection for our users. And so we certainly have a very strong vested interest in seeing it get repaired. And so we'll work closely with the Foundation for Parks and Land, and we're working with FEMA. We actually put it in as part of our overall bid package to FEMA to request funding to get that done.
So when we talk about this, what are we talking cost-wise for, you know, when you include the Boise sections and then this and...
I think the Veterans Parkway total bank restoration and replacement of that greenbelt was somewhere around $1.4 million for that. We don't have a cost yet for the West Park Center Bridge bank restoration and pathway reconstruction there or at Boise State yet, so that'll add to that cost. That the Idaho Foundation for Parks and Lands Plantation Island, we estimated that at about $1 million. We think it's probably a little north of that. The bridge seems to be still in good shape and can be relocated back there when it's rebuilt. And so we're hopeful that, that certainly can occur. But because Ada County and Garden City and Boise, we all work very closely together on our connectivity with the overall sections of the Greenbelt, we also work with that private nonprofit, and we want to make sure that that foundation is able to get the island back up and running because it's a major connection for us.
It is. So, Sarah, I want to bring you into the conversation. So aside from the Greenbelt, where else did we see flood and erosion damage?
Well, that's a great question. Most of our trails are not close to waterways. So we have 192 miles of trails across the Ridge to Rivers trail system, which is similar in a sense to what Doug was saying with regard to collaboration. We work with Ada County, Idaho Fish and Game, the BLM, and U.S. Forest Service to make sure that those trails are accessible to the public. And the city kind of leads that effort, that collaborative effort. So we were fortunate in that a lot of the trails were able to withstand that flooding pretty well. We didn't have major damage to the trail system. We did have some areas of erosion, and I think that's probably where it's most evident out on the foothills is the significant amount of erosion that comes off of those trails.
We're discussing the preservation of the Greenbelt and other recreational trails in the Treasure Valley, and I'm talking today with Boise Parks and Rec Director Doug Holloway and Foothills and Open Spaces Senior Manager Sarah Arkell. So Sarah, talking about erosion, we're getting into that season of people wanting to be outside more, starting to hike, starting to bike in the Ridge to Rivers system. What can people do, though? Because if we keep using them and we're not aware, erosion's going to continue.
Yes. These soils are sandy, so they're movable for the most part across the foothills. And, you know, we get about upwards of 1 million visits a year onto our trail system. That's a lot of people, a lot of feet, a lot of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing folks can do, you know, it really is to look at our Ridge to Rivers Facebook page. We have daily trail condition updates on that Facebook page. And it's a great way to steer clear of muddy trails and then find out where the best places to go are if it's rained the night before.
And that's really something to be aware of, because I know, you know, my family, we hike Table Rock quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And when it rains, you don't go, but you still see people on it.
Yeah, we don't have any enforcement authority. It's really a community trail system, and so we rely a lot on community responsibility and you know, our users to know what's appropriate when. We try and help. As you know, we did a pilot trail closure program at the Table Rock Trails last year. It was very successful. We got a bunch of positive feedback, which when you're closing off access is kind of surprising. But we've maintained that trail closure management strategy up at Table Rock, and it's been going really mm-hmm. well. But again, that Ridge to Rivers Trail System Facebook page has been a useful tool for us. We reach close to 20,000 people a day through that media.
So speaking of you know, erosion and all of that, so one thing, Doug, that I've noticed is when you go to Camelback Park and all of the steps now that have been put in place up the big, I guess, camel part mm-hmm. of it. And talk a little bit about that, because I saw that happening last winter, I believe, putting that in. And I've noticed over the years, you know, hiking with my kids up that there was significant erosion starting on that trail specifically.
Yeah, it really wasn't a man-made trail. So it was more of rogue over decades of users of Camelback Park using that hill to go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And we've recognized over the last probably 3 to 4 years there had been some significant erosion that continued to occur, and it really became more of an unsafe situation more than anything. So we did get with our public works team in the city of Boise, and we came up with an engineered design that we felt would work very well up there in burying some rock in the ground and creating that stair step, and then the railing system that we now have up there. It didn't hold the first time, so it actually started eroding again and started deteriorating again. And so what you saw was the second go around of where we really doubled our reinforcement of that area. So we think so far it's holding up pretty well. We'll get a good idea by the end of this summer how well that holds up. But, you know, the problem that Sarah and I and the rest of the city have with some of our you know, assets that we have in the city, and it's a good problem to have, is that they get used to death. And I mean, the Greenbelt,
we love them to death.
Yes, the foothills, and Sarah will had just indicated 1 million visits, and we get multiple millions on the Greenbelt. And you know, that's a great problem to have, but it also creates challenges in from a maintenance perspective, and also from just a pure user etiquette perspective. And so we like that. We just need to continue to work on creative ways to manage that as well.
So how can users use these in a way that doesn't cause the erosion, that, you know, they're part of the sustainability effort? What suggestions could be given? Because I think we all think we're doing a good job with preserving the hiking and biking and trail systems. Can we be doing more as just citizens using these beautiful natural resources that we have?
Yeah, I think the challenge with the amount of use is a lot of people view the foothills as the wildland outside their back door. And it's lovely. I mean, it is part of the benefit of having these trail systems and this open space.
It's why we live here.
It's why we live here, exactly. It's part of our identity as Treasure Valley folks.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's such a heavily used system, the best thing people can do, you know, is stay off the trails when they're muddy. That helps us a lot because a lot of folks, when the trails are muddy, they tend to get widened or they tend to get kind of V-shaped. And there's a lot of feet out there, right? So stay on the trails. We are constantly managing to keep folks on the trails and not cutting switchbacks, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, if there's a dog on leash area, be respectful of that. Most of the reasons we have a very small number of dog on leash trails across our 192 miles of trails. But the reason they are on leash areas is because we actually have sent native and endemic plants to Boise that we want to promote that habitat and preserve that habitat. Or we have critical wildlife habitat where mm-hmm. we want to make sure that there's, you know, beavers in the streams and deer in the foothills for us to continue to enjoy and for our children to continue to enjoy.
So one last quick question for both of you. We have about 30 seconds. Is with this continued growth that we're seeing here, is that a problem for usage or overuse of the greenbelt of the trails?
Of course. Yeah, I think it's something that we have to be very cognizant of and work on trying to come up with creative ways to manage that. You know, we're not going to get any more greenbelt because we're completely built out inside the city limits on both the north and the south side of the river. So it is what it is. What we're encouraging folks to do is to look at on our website. We have a list of etiquette opportunities to abide by when you're on the greenbelt. And if everyone followed those six or seven different topics,
it'd be lovely.
It would be lovely. And so that's really what we're promoting. But it is a management. It's just something we'll have to continue to manage, recognizing that we do have that growth coming.
And one last question for you, Doug. With the greenbelt maintenance projects going on, will it affect when the river opens for float season? Can you even think that far ahead?
Sure. Yeah. Our repair opportunities on the greenbelt will have no impact on the float season. The float season is purely predicated by what the river level is. So our greenbelt repairs are predicated by the river flow. So mm-hmm. we need the river flow to be very low in order to do those repairs. So that's usually a late fall or early winter opportunity. So from here forward, we're pretty much done with what we're going to do until next fall. So, but the float season, we've had a good, you know, depending on what kind of snowpack they have, hopefully we'll have a good float season in Ada County this year.
Because last year, my goodness, that was something.
It was late.
It was very late. I want to thank both of you. I've been talking with Sarah Arkell, the Foothills and Open Spaces Senior Manager, and Doug Holloway, the Director for Boise Parks and Recreation. Thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us today.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.
And we want to thank Scott Sanicky for his question to our Wanna Know Idaho series. We have a new question round open right now on the series. So what questions do you have about the Gem State, Idaho culture, or the people who call it home? Just go to our website, boisestatepublicradio.org, and look for the Wanna Know Idaho box.